Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
His ruling maintaining the legality of Obamacare is actually a conservative decision.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Judicial activism means judges make laws from the bench, and right-leaning Americans hate that. So Roberts did not want to overturn
the law. We are listening to the biggest phony in the history of the media, Bill the Leprechaun O'Reilly. As you well know, he hates me, and I'll be very frank with you. It's sort of an Irish mafia at Fox News, which is why I'm banned from Fox News. I finally figured it out. You got Murdoch, O'Reilly, Hannity. They have criminals, degenerates, prostitutes, liberals on the show, but they won't touch Michael Savage. And that's because O'Reilly has a personal vendetta against me because he knows I see right through him. I have a question for you. How has this fraud, Bill O'Reilly, gotten this far in life without being found out? How in the world can anybody listen to this gigantic faker, Bill O'Reilly, who gets up and stares at the camera last night? I was shocked. I was shocked as this man lied. If there was a real Pinocchio in life, this man's nose would have been 6 feet long. He was staring at you at the camera on Fox News and maintaining that Obamacare is a conservative decision by Judge Roberts. And he went on and on and on. It was shocking. So I figured, although I won't mention the leprechaun, you know, good luck to him, I couldn't resist it because it's hard to believe that you were that gullible that you would believe this fraud. Why would Murdoch and the Irish, the Purple Gang, why would Murdoch and the Purple Gang on Fox News think that they can get away with calling this a conservative decision on the part of Roberts? How does the Irish mafia get away with this on Fox News? I don't know. Then he concludes, O'Reilly does, the leprechaun. Listen to this in clip four. You're never going to believe this.
So what should conservatives do about John Roberts? Hate him?
Stop right there. Stop right there. Suddenly he's saying, what should conservatives do about John Roberts? Like he speaks for conservatives. He's telling you what to think after we've been stabbed in the back by the turncoat. John Roberts, this fraud, Bill O'Reilly tells you what to think about John Roberts because you don't have the brains to understand that you were stabbed in the back and America will never be the same again. Let me tell you something, Bill. You're a liar and you're fraud. And I challenge you to a debate any day, anywhere on this program or anywhere else. You lying louse, you. You're worse than Roberts. You're part of the reason America's going down the toilet. It's you and fake conservatives like you who have destroyed this country, you fraud. You do anything for a buck, you Connie Barker, you. You fraud, you. You mortadella. You shillelagh. You faker, you. You liar. I cannot believe what I listen to. I cannot believe what I listen to. But okay, I have a passion about my subject. You know who I really believe about what's going on in this country? Me. And I'll tell you, I'm not alone. There's an article I just posted from World Net Daily on Michael Savage about a hero general, a real general, not one of the phonies that Obama put into the Defense Department to destroy the military, but a real hero general. A real hero general, someone who's really fought in combat, as opposed to those two-bit frauds that Obama stuffed into the Pentagon. You know what he said? He said that Obama is following the plans of a Marxist insurgency right in America, right in front of your eyes. I see that. You see that. But apparently, Bill O'Reilly and the Purple Gang at Fox News refuse to see what's going on right under their eyes. General Boykin gave us a warning. And General Boykin laid out a step-by-step plan that he says is a model of how Fidel Castro instituted Marxism in Cuba, how Mao Zedong, the murderer of 60 million Chinese, did it in China, how Stalin, the killer of 80 million Russians, did it in Russia, and Hugo Chavez, the murderer in Venezuela, did it. And he said Obama's following their game plan. One, nationalize major sectors of the economy. Obama's done that. Two, redistribute wealth. He's doing it and he's done it. Three, discredit the opposition. The fraud is doing it and he's done it. 4, censors opposing viewpoints. Censor opposing viewpoints. They're not doing that. 5, control gun ownership. Mark my words, that's coming next. 6, develop a constabulary force to control civilian populations. Do you remember when Obama said he wanted a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as the U.S. military? You didn't believe me. It's coming. I'm promising you that with sellout turncoats like Bill O'Reilly, you'll be a victim in your own country. I'm asking you why you listen to that faker. I'd like to know if any conservative listening to this show believes a word that the leprechaun says. I'm asking you point blank. And I finally found out why I'm banned from Fox News. It is an Irish mafia. It runs from Murdoch through O'Reilly through Hannity. They want nothing to do with my genius or intelligence. And what's astonishing is that Murdoch doesn't even know that I defended him in trickle-down in trickle-down tyranny, number one. And number two, Harper's, the publisher who published me, is a division of Murdoch's News Corporation. To just show you how the leader of a corporation doesn't even understand how personal vendettas by small-minded men like Bill O'Reilly are actually costing them money is astonishing to me. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The program is The Savage Nation. If you want to make a comment about Bill O'Reilly, you can do so. There's many other topics I'm going to talk about on the show today. I am going to talk about a scandal in San Francisco that's the biggest in the history of the city that's going on right underneath the noses of the morons who live here. It is so big that even the left-wing Huffington Post noted it an hour ago. It's the talk of the town. It's the destruction of the most beautiful area of the city, North Beach, the Italian district, which is being decimated by greedy socialist Democrats of Obama's order. The very same mentality that is undermining America is now undermining San Francisco, literally and figuratively undermining San Francisco. They're going to be digging a tunnel under North Beach and destroying it for the sake of billions of dollars in graft and corruption. It will make the big dig in Boston look like a small project when it is done. And in the wake of this destruction being promulgated all the way up to the top of the left-wing establishment in San Francisco, the very people who eat in the restaurants and walk on the streets of North Beach are trying to destroy it. And I'll tell you all about it. I found that inside information you're not going to believe. Even the left-wing Huffington Post has noticed this story. And the story is so shocking in its enormity. The graft and corruption is so great that it is a national story. But what's going on in San Francisco and the destruction of this historic, charming Italian district called North Beach, to me, is representative of what the liberals are doing to the United States of America itself. Lived again. These are the people who would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. These are the people who, with one breath, talk about diversity, talk about global warming, talk about minority rights, talk about immigrant rights, and rob your birthright right out from underneath your feet. So we have a lot of big stories to talk about on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the first one. The leprechaun, Bill O'Reilly. How does he get away with it? Tom in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Talking to Michael Savage on the eve of the 4th of July. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby. Michael, he gets away with it because he's a part-time conservative. This is Bill O'Reilly. He's a full-time Fox Babe watcher. And we know the litmus. He got a big interview with President Obama. That means you are not a conservative. And I think he cut a deal to leave the birth certificate issue alone. That's how he got the interview. We know he's not a true conservative, Michael.
Well, I don't care whether he's a true conservative or a half conservative or a moderate middle-of-the-road Democrat. What I care about is how he has the nerve to pretend he speaks for conservatives when he says, so what should conservatives do about John Roberts? It's astonishing that he has the nerve to say that Obamacare and the ruling on it is actually a conservative decision. That's the same rubbish that fraud Krauthammer got away with, and George Will, both, by the way, have been discredited by the real conservative movement. Krauthammer is a Democrat from the get-go. George Will is a nobody who lost all of his standing 3 years ago. They're all in the same league with Bill O'Reilly. Lightweight, pseudo-intellectual, fake conservatives. Thanks for the call. What do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? Phoenix, Arizona. Elmer, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
What I'd like to tell you is you have wisdom and you have knowledge. And those things are beautiful. What gives you the extra power is truth. And what we have
Well, that's
here,
all well and good. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here on radio, and I have my listeners. That is true. The listeners listen to this show loyally. They buy my books loyally. But what effect does it have on national policy, I ask you?
On national policy, it's the powers to be, but the truth will pierce through anything, and people listen to that truth.
But what's the good of the truth if we wind up with a fake like Roberts on the Supreme Court and a fake like O'Reilly on Fox News, a fraud through and through, a leprechaun who belongs in a green jumpsuit?
Well,
what good is the truth when the truth has been defeated one time after another under this fraud in the White House? What good is the truth? What good is the truth? I'm asking you, what good is the truth? Bob in Cleveland, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think the reason justices like Roberts, who are appointed by conservative presidents, Republicans, will change sides and vote with the liberals on the court is because in their hearts, in their God-given consciences, they know the liberals
are... Right. The same conscience that Fidel Castro had, yeah. In his conscience, he did good for the people. Don't give me your malarkey.
Well, why do they do
it? You know Obamacare is a scam and a boondoggle. What are you talking about? Who's going to pay for it, you? You talk with such highfalutin language. Who's going to pay for the care for all of these millions of people?
Well, I will save money because now they don't have to go to emergency rooms. They can get care so they
Yeah, you're giving me double talk. You know that it's a scam. You know it's a scam from the top to the bottom. No country can afford such care. No country on earth can afford it.
Just you know I'm right.
No, I don't know you're right. I don't know who you are. Who are you? What's your name?
You won't let me make points. You're
not making any points. You're just giving me left-wing Democrat drivel. You're not making any points. All you're saying is that emotionally you think the liberals are right, and that's why Justice Roberts went over to their side. That's rubbish.
Appointed justice is who has voted with the conservatives. Name me one, if that's not the truth. If I'm not,
I don't know what you just... Wait. Name you one what?
Name me one Democrat-appointed justices who has ever switched over and voted with the conservatives on the court.
That's right. That's how communists work. That's right, because Democrat communists never change sides. They never violate the party doxy. That is how communism operates, fool.
David Horowitz. What about David Horowitz?
I don't know who David Horowitz is. I never heard of him. Who is he?
The remember the red diaper doper baby who...
What about him? What, he's in favor of Obamacare now?
No, I'm just saying he switched over. He's a communist that switched over to the...
Yeah, but that was 30 years ago.
Well, I'm just saying, you said name me one. I did, but you can't name me.
No, wait a minute. Hold it now. Now you're jumping around from the media to the justices. That's because you don't have a fundamentally sound argument. All you're trying to argue is that communist-inspired, Fidel Castro-like universal health care, which we cannot afford, is something that is humane. Who is going to pay for it? Let's start with the practicalities.
Israel has socialized medicine. Japan.
Here we go now to Israel. Now bring up the Jews. Wait, now throw the Jews into the mix.
Japan. See, you have to.
Israel is a basket case of a country. Israel is a beggar basket that wouldn't exist one day without the United States and its foolish taxpayers. So what are you bringing up Israel for?
Because they have socialized medicine. Japan.
That's right. Wait a minute. They have socialized medicine and they're broke. And? So
they
what's your
longer.
Point?
Those are
wait, hold it. Who's going to pay for our socialized medicine? China?
Well, we can pay for it. We've got more money in this country. It's so unbelievable, the money. And the money...
Oh, yeah, now it's so unbelievable. If those rich only pay their fair share, we could afford health care for all. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying it's more economical. This system will be more economical than...
That's Nancy Pelosi's lie. You're putting out Nancy Pelosi's lie. It's not more economical. It's a bankruptcy plan, period. It's taking out the sporting goods store from the back door. This is how the mafia works. Medicaid, Medicare, you name the program, they're all corrupt and they've all bankrupted themselves. How is this one going to be any different?
Look, who ran the economy?
You look. Take a walk, you malarkey thrower. You go listen to Bill O'Reilly. I'll be right back.
Savage.
If you are in the market for a new career, you might want to think about calligraphy. Some schools may be abandoning cursive writing in class, but the White House's chief calligrapher makes almost $97,000 a year. Now that's something to write home about.
And tell me what you think the bureaucrats in Obamacare are going to be making a year. Tell me about the 12,000 IRS agents that are going to be hired to make certain that you youngsters pay your tax to support the illegal aliens and the old in their health care needs. You think they'll be making $12,000 a year, $24,000 a year, $34,000 a year, or closer to $97,000 a year? This is the greatest disaster to have ever hit America. It is the social asteroid of our time. And I will not sit on the sidelines and say, oh, well, you've just witnessed one of the greatest social asteroids to hit the United States of America, certainly the largest in your lifetime. And it happened because a turncoat judge named Roberts stabbed America in the back. And he has friends in the media like the faker, leprechaun, fraud, shillelagh-speaking O'Reilly, who matches Obama. That's right. That's exactly what's going on in this country. Sacramento, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? Oh, shoot. Michael, last week you were so stressed out. I didn't listen for a few days, and I just turned you on again, and I've been listening for 10 years. You're more stressed out. Is there any way you can just relax a little bit?
You mean be the average American Joe in sandals and shorts and walk around?
No, not at all.
Like a dummy? I mean, walk around like somebody on Fox News or ABC that can't even, they don't even know what they're talking about? No, I can't. If I have the God-given power of the microphone, I'm going to use it for the truth. What am I doing here otherwise? I'm not doing it for my own self-aggrandizement or my income. I'm way past those points. At this point, I'm doing it for one reason only, and that's because either I do it or America's dead. I'm one of the last few in the country who sees what's going on and is willing to talk about it.
Savage.
This is what people want me to become on the Savage Nation. Just get up there, tweedly-dee, tweedly-dum, and go home and have dinner with a Democrat and a Lincoln Navigator. That's what Pat, that's when I lost respect for the guy they threw off MSNBC, whatever his name is, the brown shirt. Pat whatever. Remember him, the baldy? I insulted him once and said he wouldn't look bad in an Einsatzgruppen uniform. They never talked to me again. Because I found out that after he got off, like, one of the shows he was on, he went out to dinner in his Navigator with one of the liberals he was attacking on the show. So that you got to understand, a lot of this is just a con, both sides of the aisle. Here's a story that's no con. Chinese passengers beat Muslim hijackers to death. This is an amazing story. I'd love to see the day here that the passengers get up and beat a hijacker to death without fear of being arrested by Janet Napolitano. Did you hear this story? You didn't hear this story, huh? Six strong gang are on an airplane. Just a flight takes off from a city in China. All of a sudden, six men aged 20 to 36, all Muslims from a region of central China that's a Muslim insurgency region, they stand up and announce their plans to terrified passengers. They're taking over the plane. The gang of Muslims break a pair of aluminum crutches and use them to attack passengers while attempting to break into the cockpit. All of a sudden, passengers and police on the plane fight with them, tie them up, and they get them off the plane. Meanwhile, two of them have died in the hospital from the beating they got from the Chinese on the airplane. This is an example of what has to be done in the United States of America. Do not leave your security to authorities. As you well know, there are no authorities. As you also should well know by now, there is no Department of Homeland Security. It's a Department of Watching Americans. That's what it's become. It's a spy agency on the United States of America and on citizens who care about this country. They're now attacking Border Patrol agents in the DHS. Any Border Patrol agent who does his job is under the thumb of Janet Napolitano. They're being told to run away from gang members from Mexico. Border Patrol agents are being told to run away from people sneaking into the country if they shoot at them, to run away from Janet Napolitano. Here's your Hillary Clinton. She just apologized to the terrorist nation of Pakistan. She just apologized to the nuclear armed terrorist state of Pakistan. She just apologized and did business with the Muslim Islamists, which is an oxymoron, because I don't know of any Jewish Islamists, although there may be some. For all I can tell, there could be Christian Islamists, but in this case, they're Muslim Islamists. Actually, I could say that this government is a non-Muslim Islamist government. I could say that as well. I wouldn't be too far from the truth, because they've done business with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is now demanding. Did you hear this story? You didn't hear this either? They want the release of the blind cleric who was one of the architects of 9/11. That's what Obama and Hillary Clinton just got out of doing business with these devils in Egypt. New York, WOR, John. Maybe I should just cool it. Maybe I'll calm down, that's all. John, what's on your mind?
Michael, good evening. Hannity and O'Reilly, they're just a couple of talking point, drive-by, middle-of-the-road conservatives with no true sense of history. Neither one of them are capable of having an original thought, unlike yourself, who I started listening to quite a few years ago, and God rest my father's soul, who fought in World War II. He'd be flipping over in his grave right now, because he taught me the beauty of being out on a boat, and I got my captain's license, and every time one of your books comes out, I grab it, I take my boat, just like you take your sailboat out, and I go out into the water, and I read it, and I'm reading your current book, and I am furious and angry.
Well, don't, you better keep that as a secret. You don't want the Democrat, Socialist, Fascist administration to hear that my book is making you angry, because I'm liable to be investigated. And the next thing you know, they may have to burn the book.
Well, Michael, please keep up the good fight. When I'm done reading your books, I donate it to the Wounded Warrior Project. I donate my time taking those guys out on my boat. They're some
Beautiful.
Of the greatest Americans like yourself.
I wish I could do it. By the way, I don't have a sailboat. I have a powerboat, number one. But number two, if you're really into boating, you know what you have to do? Pick up a paperback copy of Abuse of Power, my novel. Because my hero, Jack, lives on a boat, number one, and it's all about San Francisco's North Beach and the Bay, and certain coves and islands are described in a manner that I haven't seen anything as well described since Jack London, and I'll repeat it. I don't need the frauds of San Francisco to tell me I'm right. I'm telling you as a listener who's also a boater, it's absolutely the best novel written with the Bay as a central element since Jack London. I'd send you one, but I don't have any, John, and I appreciate the commentary. That's all. Let's move on. What do you want to talk about? Knoxville, Tennessee. Travis, welcome to the program.
It's great to talk to you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you.
First off, I'm calling you on the eve of a holiday where most uneducated, unwashed masses will celebrate tomorrow and have no inkling of what they're celebrating.
It's a day to get drunk. It's a day to get drunk and roll in the mud like a pig and fornicate with anyone near you. Of course, that's the youth of today.
It's unbelievable. I've watched this country. I'm 40 years old. Speaking to liberals is like speaking to people in the mental asylum. Of course, I think I probably get more entertainment out of the people in the mental asylum.
Well, at least in a mental asylum, you could run away from them and they'd be locked inside. Here, you don't know which way to run, because whichever you run, you're going to run into the nuts.
I know. It's a Travis.
But Travis, look, the fact of the matter is, we have a real problem when Fox parades itself as a conservative network, and they have the audacity to have the shillelagh thrower, O'Reilly, get up there and stare into the camera and say that Roberts is a brave man, an honest man who did a conservative thing. That's an utter lie. That is absolute propaganda.
O'Reilly is basically a secret liberal who uses just enough talking points from the Godfather, you, and the others to make his uneducated conservatives go, look, he's not a liberal, he's a conservative.
But no, Travis, how does a fraud like him, a malarkey thrower like O'Reilly, have such numbers? I know he lost his radio show because radio's a different medium. You can't use women with cute legs and lipstick to help boost your ratings. You can't have a stream of prostitutes and others to keep the ratings up. You have to base it on what you're saying, and all you have is your voice and your mind and your guts. And O'Reilly had none of those, and that's why he flopped in radio. But how does he get away with it on television?
Because of the National Education Association, the biggest unionized thugs in America.
I would say it's because of the ditzy girls that he uses on the show as eye candy. I think that's his biggest claim to ratings. They're all waiting for him to bring another. I think he wants to bring. They can't wait to see O'Reilly bring another leg crosser up, so he can pretend that he's talking to them when all he's doing is using them as a sexist would use a woman. Thanks for the call. He's a good guy, that caller. That's all. So it's the 4th of July. I think I'll take the day off tomorrow. Go out on the boat. Think about it. Well, you don't care about any of this. Why should I care? Why should I blow myself through a roof here? And wake up one day. What would they find me one day in the bed with a blown artery from this? What am I doing this for? No one. It doesn't have any effect. We have the biggest fraud in the history of America, in the history of American politics. We have a completely unqualified anti-American man in the White House getting away with one major policy change after another, and nothing stands in his way from a complete and total takeover of this nation and a complete and total disaster for our individual freedoms. And I will tell you right now that I'm going to play for you that important speech because the general noted it as well. It's chilling. I want you to listen to that speech. This is Obama caught off mic before his election. Listen.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
He's a fascist. He's a smiling fascist. A civilian national security force as just as strong and just as powerful as the military. This is what Hitler did with the SA. This is what every dictator does who comes to power who distrusts the military, because within the military ranks there are true patriots that are not loyal to him. This is why Hitler created the Adolf Hitler Brigade within the SS, which was the most loyal group of bodyguards that he had, because he handpicked every one of them. Is this what you want for America? Will that jerk from Cincinnati call me up and say it's a good thing to have a civilian national security force because it's not filled with a bunch of white crackers? It's filled with Black Panthers who we can trust? Is that what's coming next? You know, as I stand here, that liberals will say that's a good thing, a civilian national security force. You know that these locksteppers, no matter what Obama does, if he built internment camps, they would say it's a good thing. There's nothing he can do that they would say is wrong. Virtually nothing this man could do that they would disagree with. They are brainwashed fascists. They are dangerous. And there's only a very thin line that stands between them and the total annihilation of this nation. That is what I think. That is what I see. That is what I act upon every day of my life. So now I've established what I think, what I see, what I say. And that's my July 4th message to you. If I were alone in this, you wouldn't be listening to me. If you didn't agree with me, I don't think you'd be as loyal a listener as you have become. Moreover, I am not alone. Moreover, the real military men agree with me, every last one of them. The ones who don't agree with me are the frauds that Obama handpicked and put into the Pentagon to destroy the military from within. The very same people who are now downsizing the military and twisting the military into a social experiment from which it may never recover. They're not generals. They are the enemy within. Every nation has faced them going back to ancient times. We ourselves are going through a very strange time where we have a naked Marxist in the White House, in plain sight, enacting one Marxist policy after another with almost no opposition to speak of. Now, whether they compromised Roberts through blackmail or through some other means, we will never know. We will never understand how they got to Roberts, but they did. This would not be the first time that a judge has been compromised or bought out. You say it can't happen here? What do you mean it can't happen here? Why not? Who is Roberts? He's just a man. He was a lawyer. Who says he's above? Who says he's above being blackmailed? And who says that they're not blackmailing him? How can you prove that he's not being blackmailed by the Obama administration? You can't. Nor can I prove that he was blackmailed. So let's go to my fallback theory. I told you I ran into a world-famous medical professor and neurologist last week, and we had a discussion. And he told me that as an epileptic who takes medication, you should tell your audience that epilepsy medicine can cause cognitive dissonance. It can cause lapses in reasoning. I told you that, and the vermin on the left said that I attacked epileptics, which, of course, is how people lie about me all the time, but I'm used to it. I never said epilepsy is bad. My grandmother was an epileptic. It's a horrendous disease. I never said anything about epileptics. I said the medication that is used for epilepsy can cause cognitive problems, okay, meaning your thinking can become blurred. Well, I went to the same doctor today. Actually, you know what he said to me today? He said, you better tell your audience the following. I want everyone in America listening to this show, and there may not be a lot of you today, I want you to hear the rest of that story about Roberts and his medication and his unfortunate illness. He said, the layman doesn't know the following, Michael, but I'm an expert in neurological disorders. He said, if you have a seizure, you must give up your driver's license for a year. He said, why is Roberts permitted to be on the bench with seizures? It means that he may be impaired in his thinking. He said, tell your audience that if you have a seizure, you have to give up your driver's license for a year, and yet you're able to drive the nation for the rest of your life, he said to me. Tell the audience about it, Michael. He begged me to tell you about that little fact. Well, I just told you about that little fact. So you have a choice. There are only three reasons that Roberts stabbed America's conservative movement in the back. One, because he's being blackmailed by the Obama administration, and we will never learn the truth. Two, because he is actually a liberal who wanted to be loved by the liberal establishment, which, he, by the way, he received the accolades the very next day in a private meeting amongst lawyers and judges who loved him to death for turning coat and going to fight with the British against the Americans, so to speak. And number three, the only other possibility, there's only three possibilities, is that his medication has affected his thinking. That's it. You have to use logic to figure these things out. But you can't use the same excuses for the leprechaun on Fox News. The leprechaun, so far as we know, does not suffer from any seizure disorder. Thank God, I'm glad that he has good health. So we cannot blame medication for O'Reilly's behavior. We do not think that he's being blackmailed, because that went away a long time ago when Fox News bought off his accuser for millions of dollars. That's well established. The loofah man was exposed, and they brushed it under the table rather than suing him and trying to destroy him for such peccadilloes as some people in the media do to their talent. They actually supported him. So that's not the reason. The third possibility is one that you can figure out for yourself. It's that simple. Let's have some July 4th music, Ray. Let's get some da 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 da. You got any patriotic music for the... That's what I need. The average Schmendrick out there didn't understand one out of four words I said so far. I'm a conservative. I love America. Roberts is a patriot. He did a service to America. O'Reilly told me so. That's a good thing. We'll take over the country and we'll reverse it. Listen to that Krauthammer. He knows what he's talking about. And George Will. They're real smart conservatives. Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Get out the hot dogs and the balloons, Why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Hip hip hooray! Welcome to America. Get out your iPhone, your my phone, your me phone, his phone, the dog phone, the cat phone. I'll be right back. This is FM Bob Savage. Welcome to the July 4th holiday program, where politics is a thing of yesteryear. Today we're just going to settle back and enjoy some patriotic music along with our hot dogs and balloons. We wish welcome and happiness to our leaders in Washington, D.C. We are very happy that the President and the First Lady are enjoying a well-deserved rest after passing a signature health bill that will bring truth and freedom to all citizens and non-citizens alike. We also want to send a welcome thank you to the opposition party for being so cooperative and welcoming. We especially want to say thank you to John Boehner for his beautiful behavior during the debates. We want to thank him for his beautiful pink shirt and pink tie, very much in keeping with the pinko that he has become. Am I live? I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I thought I was on a break. I was eating peanuts during the break. I know I shouldn't eat them. I get a little reaction to them, and yet I eat them. I have a can of them. I don't know what I'm trying to commit suicide by peanut. I don't know what it is, by choke, gag. And who knows how much I can take of this. But what are you going to, you know, you got to play it out to the end. That's all. You play it out to the end. It's as simple as that. So here we are. You don't want to hear the serious stuff. It's July 4th. No one's home. Everyone's on a water ski somewhere but you. You're the only one home listening to the radio. Is there a listener in San Francisco listening to this show who has anything to say about the Central Subway construction and its devastation on the historic Italian district in the city? Because if you don't call me, I'm not going to talk about it. This is the greatest boondoggle in the history of San Francisco. Over $200 million of federal money, state money and city money, so far as I know, has already been sucked out of the system before a shovel full of earth has been dug. $200 million has already been sucked out of the tax base for a tunnel to nowhere. It will destroy, it will decimate the historic, beautiful Italian North Beach area, but I put it out there, no one cares. I mean, apparently there are people from San Francisco who listen to me, even though it's heard from Sacramento. I have a monster audience who knows what's going on. This is the biggest scandal to have ever hit the city. It is being conducted by the liberal establishment, which will devastate the most beautiful district in the city. If you don't want to talk about it, I'm not going to bring it up. There are elements to this story that are worth talking about on a national show. The project will destroy the historic North Beach Italian district. When the businesses are run out of town, the greedy developers and the politicians' families will buy up the properties for pennies on the dollar, devastate the old North Beach, and turn it into Rincon Plaza Annex. A march of the high-rise right through North Beach. But if you don't care, neither do I.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Nothing. Keeps rolling. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I've been exercising my vocal cords lately. If you're listening to the show the last few days, you've noticed I've been singing on air. Because there's nothing left to do. The last resort of those of us who see what's going on is to revert to a song and dance act. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's a very sad song, really, Old Man River, when you think about it. Goes back to slave times and the touching part of this is here's a man suffering, his body's aching, you know, picking cotton, tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk and you land in jail. I guess weary, sick of trying, tired of living, scared of dying, but Old Man River just keeps rolling along. Here is a man who is so in such pain as a trapped, enslaved human being that he actually envies a non-human entity, a river. He envies the river because the river is free. Whoever wrote this saw that the water, the moving water, was freer than he was. You think about it. It's a pretty amazing song. So, why am I mentioning it? Well, who knows why? I do know that you must fight slavery, and you're now being slowly but surely enslaved by this Marxist regime, one policy after another. Slowly but surely, the yoke is going around the body politic, with help from frauds and sellouts like Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, with turncoats like Justice Roberts, it won't be long before all of us are in yokes. So we're talking about that. We're talking about the biggest boondoggle in the history of San Francisco, the Central Subway plan, which will decimate the historic North Beach area. And the highest powers in the city, all so-called progressive Democrats, are all in favor of this decimation of the historic North Beach district for financial reasons. Those who will destroy the North Beach Italian district of San Francisco will eventually buy the properties up as they drive out one restaurant, one store after another. They'll buy up the stores for pennies on a dollar. They will then rezone the district and turn it into a high-rise district where there is no remnants of the North Beach that I love so much, by the way. It's the only reason I stay in go to San Francisco. There's no other area of the city that I really care about. It's a different part of the world. It's like stepping in. And I've written about it in my novel, Abuse of Power. Jack Hatfield goes there. He hangs around in that part of the city. I mean, I see things that I put into my novel. And by the way, my sequel will be out next spring. And you want to hear something odd? This is a strange thing. This central subway construction, the boondoggle that's coming, that will, you know, they're digging underneath the city to build a subway extension. It's really a bridge to nowhere. It's absolutely a bridge to nowhere. It's worth trillions of dollars to the people involved with this. That's what it's going to be worth. Trillions of dollars in construction funds. And it'll be hardly used. This will be a hardly used extension of an existing BART tube. And it's an interesting story because they're going to be digging under from Chinatown, under North Beach, the Italian district, as I said. So many of you bought my first novel, Abuse of Power, and you know it takes place in San Francisco and et cetera, North Beach, which I love. My sequel, which is already written, is called A Time for War. It won't be out till next year, about this time, I guess, from St. Martin's. And again, Jack lives on a boat, and Jack loves the North Beach area. He loves to walk through it. He loves looking at the bay. He loves looking at the colors of the homes. He loves the scale of the architecture. He loves the feeling of stepping back in time to a beautiful, different time in American history. But this novel is about a different enemy. It's no longer the Islamists who are plotting to blow up San Francisco, who he thwarts. This time it's the communist Chinese government. And I swear to you, it's as though there's a psychic element to my mind, because it was written and finished about 2 months, 3 months ago, maybe more. It's about a tunnel underneath North Beach. A tunnel underneath North Beach that is used by the communist Chinese to devastate the city. I swear to God. So when I heard about this central subway tunnel construction, I said something is crazy here. I mean, I wrote a novel in the future about a fantasy and a fiction and digging a tunnel under this part of the city. Now, I'm not saying they're going to use it to blow the city up. Don't get me wrong. They're just going to decimate the city for greed. That's all. Nothing about bombs or things of that nature. The novel is one thing, but the reality of what these greedy developers and corrupt city officials want to do is overwhelming. And what's astonishing to me is how they're getting away with it in plain sight. And there's a metaphor here. The enemy within in San Francisco is digging within. The enemy within, the fake liberal establishment that pretends to be for minority rights and immigrant rights and diversity rights. Okay, it's just about greed and it's only about money. It's all it ever has been. But they fake it. They make believe they care about those things. And what's amazing and astonishing is that there's almost no opposition to it from the media. There's no mention of it in the fraudulent San Francisco newspaper. No mention of it. If you search the San Francisco newspaper for stories in this, you can hardly find any. Yet the merchants, I was there yesterday, one merchant after another in these small little stores almost were crying to me saying, Mike, say something about it. I said, I have a national show. No one cares about San Francisco's North Beach. They said, but Mike, it has national implications. It's a boondoggle. It's a complete and total lie. It's corrupt. It's graft. It's ridden with corruption. I said, I don't think anyone will care about that, even though the project will destroy one of the last great ethnic neighborhoods in America in order to serve the financial interests of highly placed Democrat officials in the state of California, and that it's similar to the huge boondoggle that occurred in Massachusetts with Boston's Big Dig Subway project. The subway project I'm talking about is going to bore away at the city of San Francisco from within, a metaphor for the termites that have bored into the United States of America itself and undermined us from within. And we can talk about that if you want. Play Old Man River before I take a call, before I plots here from the exhaustion. Go ahead. Old Man River, that old man river. just God love us. Move me as a child. Move me as a child. I had no idea what it was, but it brought tears to my eyes. A beautiful song. It's a symbol of all of man's struggles when you think about it. Listen to the next stanza. Plantators, in whom plant cotton. He's soon forgotten.
But Old Man River, he just keeps on rolling along.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. It's about the sweat and strain of life for all of us and how nature is eternal and nature just keeps moving along no matter what we may do. Raise it up. Let me hear. I don't like this part. I could do without. This is a different. It doesn't have the same pathos. That Old Man River. Okay, let's take the callers. We got time for a few. Petri, Sacramento. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing, Michael? Thanks for cutting up my call, man. The media is not saying a word about this tunnel in San Francisco. It's astonishing. It's amazing. It drives me insane because you're the only one I hear that news from.
Yeah, and I'm a right-wing conservative. How could I be against the subway? I thought liberals are against decimating neighborhoods. How does that work?
It's crazy. I mean, San Francisco, all those people, sure, it might create a job, but baloney.
Nonsense. The jobs are going to go to a foreign construction company. Hello, fools. By the way, the only congressman who is opposing this is a state senator, rather, and he's a conservative Republican. The liberals are all going to dip their beaks into this. That's why they're all for it. They're fraudulent through and through. They're the equivalent of O'Reilly on Fox News.
You know, I got a crazy theory. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Once the brown shirts get in power and we get overrun by fascists and communists, that's going to be their secret tunnel, the dungeon for the conservatives that want to fight against
Don't
that.
Be silly. Nah, there's going to be no dungeon. Nah, believe me, that's not their plan. This is all about money. It has nothing to do with politics. It's all about money. It's all about greed. That's all it is. Greed, like they think they can take it to the grave with them. Sacramento, Michelle, welcome to the Savage Nation from KSTE. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Michael. I'm actually calling from San Francisco. I've got my tinfoil hat on, and I'm wiring you in to the Sacramento station.
You're listening to me on an iPhone because I've been banned in San Francisco, eh?
That's right. And I drive through San Francisco with you at top volume with my windows down, hoping that maybe you can talk some sense into the.
Can you believe that I'm the number one conservative voice in San Francisco? I built several stations and none of them have the guts to have me on now right now to show you what they've done to the city of San Francisco's media. Can you believe how scared they are of the truth?
It's amazing. I wrote many an angry email when they took you off the San Francisco stations. But don't you worry. I tell all my friends where they can listen to you.
Well, like that's said, okay. So all the listeners are going to the internet or to the KSTE station out of Sacramento. You know, one man's loss is another man's gain. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm calling about this subway, and I'm 100% Italian. And I got to tell you, I, too, have a love-hate relationship with this city. I love it for its different little districts. For the diversity is great when you can go to the Mission District, you can go to the North Beach, but I hate it for all of the liberals that are trying to ruin it on a daily basis. And this is just another example of how they are going to take a beautiful.
But how is it that liberals who are so sensitive to a mouse or a bee or a mosquito that might be decimated by a highway have nothing to say about the decimation of this historic Italian neighborhood in San Francisco?
The hypocrisy is, it makes me nauseous.
You know, hypocrisy isn't even the right word. You're dealing with a brainwashed population. They don't even understand what's going on in front of their eyes. They just repeat what they are told. If they're told the subway is good, the subway is good. If they're told the subway is bad, the subway is bad. They have no way to judge for themselves what is actually happening in front of their eyes.
Of course, it likens itself to the high-speed rail that they're trying to put in the Valley of California.
Oh, that boondoggle of old Governor Brown, the railway to nowhere for billions of dollars in the middle of the Central Valley that nobody will ever use. They won't even be able to transport vegetables on it.
Exactly. It's just another way.
The great Governor Brown, the great caring progressive Governor Brown, who wants to build a train to nowhere. Another wonderful liberal destroying the state from within.
So we got a train to nowhere and a subway to nowhere and then decimation.
That's because we have a nowhere man in Sacramento and, of course, a nowhere man in San Francisco. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to Savage Nation. So we got a lot of things to talk about, but no one's interested because what you're interested is hot dogs, barbecue, shorts, sandals, family, which you should be. Living well may be the best revenge for most. I think thinking well is the best revenge personally. I think speaking well is the next best revenge. And I, too, will probably eat a hot dog tomorrow, frankly. Of course, it'll be a politically correct hot dog. Culled from a, let us say, sensitively killed pig made by sensitive workers in a sensitive factory. The print is not going. Oh, come on. I hit the wrong thing. Oh, my God. I can't keep up with this anymore. You hit the wrong number. You get 75 pages. Let me take a couple of calls here. Chicago, Cameron, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, you're exactly right that let's coin some phrases here. The Fox News ruse and the talking legs. I mean, they have nothing to do with journalism today. But I
was trying to figure out how a fraud like O'Reilly gets ratings, and it's the legs. He brings the pretty girls on, the empty heads from the other shows, the leg crossers, as I call them. And that's what boosts ratings. It's basically pornography.
It is. But not only that, but if they have a guest on there, they have to be in the same leg mode. It's unbelievable. But I called about Robert's wife.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. He's compromised. There are two reasons a man like him changes his vote. One is the threatening of his wife and children who...
So you allege that his wife moved him to the liberal socialist side. Why do you say that?
Well, she was a feminist. She's a member of X number of feminist causes, but she represents a law firm that... She's in a law firm that represents all the drug companies. So, come on now.
I didn't know that Roberts had a lawyer wife.
I just got tuned into it today, but his lawyer wife and he, of course, they're two.
That in the air. Don't run that one out. That's not fair. I don't want to go there. The first part was good. The second part. New York, WOR, Ken, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, so Michael, I've been listening to your singing for the last few shows. And you have a good voice. All you need to do is practice a scale.
I don't know the first thing about singing. I do it once in a while to release some tension, and I enjoy it. But truthfully, what do I know about singing? Nothing.
I think it could add a new dimension to your show. You actually have a good voice.
Ken, are you in the singing world?
No. I used to repair televisions for a living.
Thanks for the expert opinion. I appreciate it. No, nothing wrong with a TV repairman. We once had an old Dumont when I was a kid in the Bronx that my father insisted on keeping. Insisted. The worst television on the planet, but he insisted because it came in a good cabinet with a nice tube. He kept repairing it. Every week the guy came around. It's like me with a certain car I owned. I had no idea. Just thrown the garbage out and gotten a new TV. The same thing. Every week, the TV repairman was in there. It was like the good wrench guy, Mr. Goodwrench. Then the Japanese came along. It was the end of the Dumont and the Sylvania. That was the end of the American TV industry. Thank God I have a Samsung. I don't know what I have.
Savage.
So you go on the local website, a local San Francisco paper, and you try to search the Central Subway. Nothing comes up. Instead, it's 100 fun facts about the top 100 bars in the Bay Area. That's what they have in the media in communist Central. This is amazing. all of the sensitive environmentalists who are into bicycling naked have nothing to say about the subway that will decimate the most beautiful district in the city. Fraudulent. Well, I'm not going to get angry over it. They don't care. Let it go. That's all. I've enjoyed it for the last 40 years, so it's time to decimate it in the name of progress. After all, progressives are into progress, right, Beowulf? And so if progressives are into progress, why not decimate North Beach for a tunnel to nowhere? Think of all of the billions of dollars that'll be sent to China for the construction firms that are going to do the job. I just love it. Where are the unions on this? Where are the unions in San Francisco who think they're going to get any of this work? They're not going to get any of the work. You know where it's going. Amazing. Not a discussion about it. All right, let's move on. Tony in Connecticut, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. First time calling you, sir. God bless you, sir.
Yeah.
That song is a deep meaning. It's about the river represents the river of life. The water is the waters of life. That's what the man was talking about. It represents true freedom.
So is that your interpretation of Old Man River, or you've studied this, or what?
I read the Bible occasionally, once in a while.
But understood, understood. Well, yes, of course. I appreciate it. Yes, of course. The slave, I remember, this was not written by a man in slavery times. Old Man River was written as a show tune by a Jewish songwriter, Oscar Hammerstein, I believe. God bless the Jewish songwriters for the empathy. But the fact of the matter is, it's a brilliant song. What was the name of the play it was in? Showboat. This became the most famous song. That's why I put it on, because it's a very touching song, the Old Man River thing. We're all like that man in a way. We're sweating, we're struggling, we're trying to get through life, and we look at nature sometimes, and we enjoy the river because the river is eternal, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, why do you have a dog? You come home, you feel rotten from human beings, what they try to do to you, how evil they are, the bigger the cross, the bigger the liar. Look at Clinton. Remember I said yesterday in my... You think about this. Remember Bill Clinton, the false Christian, with the Bible? He had an oversized cross on his Bible. Do you remember that? Okay, so the bigger... There's a phrase in old German. It goes, I can't... It's not... There's nothing... It means the bigger the cross, the bigger the fraud. You know what I'm saying? It's like you wear it on your sleeve. So the biggest phonies are the ones who profess the religion the most. Like O'Reilly pretending to be a conservative, like Roberts pretending to be a conservative justice and then turning coat and stabbing the conservatives in the back, et cetera, and so on. Okay, so we all know about hypocrisy and the enemy within. But what I'm getting at is something a little different. And what I'm getting at is along the lines of the fact that you come home from work and you see how evil mankind can be. And the worst of mankind it's bad enough to meet pure evil, but we all know how to defend against pure evil. That's what I'm getting at. It's those who pose as religious people who are not. They're just thieves. Dark thieves in the night are to be less feared than the fake Christians out there, okay? So you come home at night and you think about the evil of mankind who are out to destroy everybody using religion as a weapon. You see a dog. He plays with you. He lays on his back. You lay down. He lays there. Sometimes he rolls over on his back and he goes to sleep with his feet up. It's unbelievable. The trust he has in you, the abandon he has in you. And what it brings out in a man is a sense of you want to protect that animal. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we love our pets, is they let us relax. And it's the same with the song Old Man River. The man looks at the river. And in a way, he wishes he was the river because the river is freer than he is. The body of water is certainly more free than he is. You know what I'm saying? That's the empathy of the song. That's the genius. I'm trying to show what it means to me. I don't know what it means to you. That's all. I mean, what would you say about this? A man calls you and tells you his son is dying in the hospital. I'm picking a case out of the air. How would you deal with this? He says, Mike, my son is dying in the hospital. We don't know what to do. And I say to him, well, that's terrible. Let's think about it. Did he eat anything? No. You do this, they get stung by a bee? No. Unknown, doctors don't know what to do. So you say to him, well, did you give him any vitamins, any particular vitamins? And you start to do a nutritional analysis and you find out that they put him on a vitamin that's killing the child. They don't even know that it was causing these symptoms. So I tell him, get him off that vitamin. I give him the vitamin antidote. The next day, the child is completely cured. I save the kid's life. And then this guy then stabs you in the back and tries to steal millions of dollars from you. What would you make of a thing like that? Now, that's a hypothetical story, of course. I'm giving you an example of humanity at its lowest. You say, so where is God? Why doesn't God punish that man for being so evil? Well, God did try to punish that man. God tried to punish that man through his son. He tried to kill that man's son. But I intervened and I saved that man's son. So why does the evil one get away with it? Why must the innocent suffer is the question. Well, these are the age-old questions for which there is no direct answer. And what you have to do at a certain point is say, leave the vengeance to God. I had people come to me in my lifetime and say, you got to do something, you got to say something. It was someone in the family who was robbing everybody. I'm giving you an example. And he robbed everyone. He robbed my mother. He robbed my uncles. He was a con man. Someone got close to the family, robbed everybody. He's a degenerate gambler and a con man, ripped off everybody in the family, okay? You know, last year, my mother would cry to me and say, do something to him, get even with him, this and that. And I said, Ma, leave vengeance to God. And it's not man's place to seek vengeance. And lo and behold, God did seek the vengeance on that man. And that's why I say there's a big balancing book in heaven. And like that guy whose child was saved by Michael Savage, that man will pay for it, as sure as I'm sitting here, in ways he'll never understand. I saved his son. Mobile, Alabama. O'Reilly, what do you want to talk about now? We don't have much time left in the hour. What's this now on Drudge? Oil prices surge again? Iran test fires dozens of long-range missiles. Attacks on mock enemy bases. USA sends ships, planes to Persian Gulf as tension mounts. Here we go again. You know we're going to lose an aircraft carrier or two. You know that. I mean, you do know that. You have a PC Navy more worried about birthing rights on the aircraft carrier than about defending itself. You think the USS Cole was an accident under Bill Clinton? You've seen nothing yet. It's going to be like Potemkin. It's like the battleship Potemkin under Obama. Those of you know Eisenstein's great movie. Our fleet today is the equivalent of the Russian fleet that got its butt whipped in the war against Japan. I don't know if you know that story. Russia was sure it had an indomitable naval force with its dreadnoughts, and it went out and Japan defeated it, knocking down the ships which fought in a straight line. We have the equivalent Captain Kangaroo running our Navy right now with a PC Navy that is so out of control, I don't think it could fire a missile to defend itself. You'd probably wait for the ship to be hit before it fires a 45 caliber pistol in response to one of the dinghies that came up with a torpedo on it. That's the military under your commander-in-chief. Yep, Captain Kangaroo is now running the world. Welcome to the savage world. Or shall I say the unsavage world. So now they're shooting missiles. Oil prices surge again. You know, this, that. And I got to look at some actor who just divorced him and his wife. Every day, watch the actor put the ring on his fake girlfriend. Watch the other actor divorce the false man. Make rings as he beats up photographers to show how tough he is. Remember I said to you, the bigger the Klafka, the bigger the Nafka? The bigger the brute, the more insecure the man is inside. The more he runs around with the hairy body and punches people, the larger the fraud is inside. What do they have to tell you about their marriages and their rings if they're really a man? What are they telling you about every minute? Indianapolis, Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, in your analogy about the child being sick, you said that God was already punishing the man by making his child sick. And I know you're a fan of the Bible, most notably the Old Testament, and there's many instances in the Old Testament where things happened to children and evil things were going on, and God said he did not command that, nor did it enter his mind.
Hmm.
I hear you.
In other words, it was a random accident. God did not try to punish that evil man through his child, you think?
Right. Christ in the New Testament said, by chance, the Samaritan went down the road. By chance, not by some predestined before the foundations of the earth that this man would be beaten on the road, to Damascus. It just happened.
Yes, but here's the question. You save that man's son's life, right? And the man tries to destroy you. How does that get paid off? What's the payback for that?
Sometimes evil people are very profitable. Look at the case in point of everything you've been talking about tonight with Murdoch and Fox News. Look how successful Hannity and O'Reilly are. I mean, these guys are schmucks, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like I'm suffering. I'm not broke, but the point is, how do they get away with it is the question. And where is the justice in the world? That's what people ask every day of the week.
Yeah,
but I appreciate people listening so carefully to my shows. I really do. Oh, man. River, Mobile, Alabama. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I want to talk about the subway that they're going to be building over there in San Francisco.
Yes, the subway to nowhere in North Beach, San Francisco. The subway to nowhere, the greatest boondoggle in San Francisco history that the liberal Democrats are all in favor of. Great story, not reported in the local paper.
Yeah, but the big thing about that is that thing is a death trap. Look at all the fault zones around San Francisco. Would you ride that thing?
It doesn't matter if anyone rides the subway. What matters is the billions or trillions of dollars that the Democrats will make off the subway. They don't really care whether anyone rides it.
Yeah, but they're going to be building it in an earthquake-prone area. You got the Hayward fault zone.
Well, think about the money they can make if after an earthquake rebuilding. The same construction companies that are building the subway to nowhere can then rebuild after the earthquake with federal, state, and local money. What could be better? The schmucks will pay them for that.
So no,
either way, the pig Truns. I don't know which one. It wasn't Truns who said that we sell everything but the squeal in the pig. It was the name of a large hog international Trun whatever it was. He said we sell everything but the squeal. That's the way the liberal Democrat works it. They finagle all of the fools on the left thinking, we're for minority rights. Yeah, we're for immigrants. We're for gays. That way they finagle the gays, the immigrants, the minorities into thinking they care about them so they don't riot over a thing like a subway to nowhere that's going to cost trillions of dollars. It's an old game, but that's how they finagle people. That's all. That's why I'm banned in San Francisco, because I'm the only one talking about the subway. To nowhere. That old man river, he just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling. I love that song. The one I got to work on is, he must know something, but don't. No, I'm blowing it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock.
His ruling maintaining the legality of Obamacare is actually a conservative decision.
You fraudulent mortadella, you. You shillelagh, you leprechaun, you. You leprechaun, you. Stop the music. O'Reilly says, I really, my mouth fell open. I never watched the guy. Okay, good luck to him. Last night I turned him on. I could not believe what I was watching. He actually comes out and says that maintaining the legality of Obamacare is a conservative decision, and that we should love John Roberts for doing it. This is a liar through and through. He has given the greatest power in history to the federal government. Roberts is now allowing Obama to use the IRS to attack any American who does not do what the federal government thinks they should be doing. It's a totalitarian decision on the part of Obama with Roberts. Surely the shillelagh thrower should understand that. It's what goes on in Cuba and China. So we have communist oppression in the form of Obamacare, in the form of Obamacare as written and as will be enacted. The IRS is going to be used as fundamentally brown shirts to force you to buy something that you don't want to buy. Punitive taxation, not acceptable to any American. Punitive taxation is a crime against the Constitution. Roberts knows that. Roberts is either a compromise through blackmail or for some other reason, which I've been discussing. But there's no excuse for O'Reilly to come out and say that it's a conservative decision. None whatsoever, other than that he's a fraud. That's why I have to talk about it. It's not that I care that much about the guy. I never think about him. But how he gets away with it is amazing to me. Why would anyone listen to him? I don't quite understand it. How does he speak for conservatives when he takes the side of liberals? Just shows you the people are that gullible. I mean, you could fool all of the conservatives all of the time. Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The reason that O'Reilly has moved to the left and the center left over the last few years is pretty much in lockstep with Roberts and, in my opinion, Obama. It's all about legacy. These are three men of great power, great wealth, and have accomplished a lot. And when they sit back in their rooms and their thoughts and they're alone, I don't think it's as sinister as some people may think. I think it's basically based on them saying, what can I do to maintain this power, to be something bigger than the decision I am? And Riley specifically, he wants to be the godfather of media. These people are dying left and right of the old guard, and now he's
so in other words, he wants the liberal historians to think of him kindly because of what he just did.
Well, all historians practically are liberal, so he understands.
Yeah, well, you're right about that's an oxymoron, of course. Like that Jane, that faker, the plagiarizer. They keep bringing her up every time they talk about a presidential historian. They bring that woman up with the twisted mouth. I don't know her name. I can't remember her name. Jane something or other. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Doris Kearns Goodwin. Big genius. Got caught by the plagiarism. And then the historian says that Barack Obama is the greatest president in history. Ronald Reagan was a piker compared to him. Who is she? A plagiarizer. Yeah, of course all the historia, the whole establishment is left-wing. So that's what you think they're appealing to?
I think that it's all about legacy.
You might be right. You might be right. I suffer as a result of my independent streak. I understand that, despite my accomplishments. And the fact is I suffer. But okay, so that's the price I pay. I'm willing to live with it. That's all. Why isn't O'Reilly willing to live with it? I don't understand that. Who knows? He's got a bigger ego than I do. He's a big frame. A 6'6" guy has a bigger ego than a guy my size. He's got a much bigger ego to deal with than I do. I'm not worried about my legacy, truthfully. What good does it do me? I'm going to look down from heaven and say, wow, look at that. There's a statue of me and there's a bird crapping on it? Well, look, there's a statue of myself. Wait, those are birds, man. They're defecating on my statue. Wait, pass a federal law. Stop the birds from defecating. Please stop the wind from blowing. It's ruining my bronze look. Yeah, stop the hail from blowing against my statue. It's just not doing my image any good. Stop the wind, stop the rain, stop the birds, stop the pain. So who knows what will wake up tomorrow with this communist regime in power, this incompetent. They're incompetent on the world stage. They make friends with enemies. They turn our enemies into friends and our friends into enemies. As I point out in Trickle Down Tyranny, but you don't want to read it. Iran is now firing missiles. We send our Potemkin Navy into the Persian Gulf. I can guarantee you, as the Navy is sailing in, they're doing training on the ship to make certain that women are treated properly on the ship, and that's probably more, has a higher priority than defending the ship against the missile attack. To make certain that all of the code books of political correctness are being checked and covered by the KGB aboard the ships. The battleship Potemkin, the Potemkin Navy, it's sad, it breaks my heart to see what has happened to this country since Bill Clinton got his grips on it. Remember, the coal happened because they were not allowed to fire at the Yemen natives who were approaching the coal, the Yemeni natives. You were supposed to stand down and make certain that maybe they were just coming to sell us their Yemen wares. Perhaps they had some secret ethnic baskets to sell us. That's what's going to happen as sure as I'm standing here.
Seven.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. Let's go over some of the audio sound bites on the Savage Nation. Audio sound bites. I guess that's an oxymoron. Let's go over the audio sound bites on the Savage Nation. Here is the leprechaun, Bill O'Reilly, who may as well be wearing green and have a Pinocchio nose, saying that Justice Roberts' vote was conservative.
His ruling maintaining the legality of Obamacare is actually a conservative decision. Judicial activism means judges make laws from the bench, and right-leaning Americans hate that. So Roberts did not want to overturn a law that had been passed by Congress, and he searched for a way not to strike Obamacare down. It was a tough go for Roberts, who initially wanted no part of Obamacare. But the Chief Justice changed his mind when presented with the taxation option, something the Obama administration didn't even emphasize in its presentation before the Supreme Court. The truth is that John Roberts wanted to find a way not to strike down a congressional law, and he found one. Yes, Congress does have the right to tax, even punitively, and that's what Roberts has upheld. By fining Americans who do not buy health care, the feds are punishing them using taxes as the weapon. That's been done before. The huge tax on tobacco, a great example. But there's one big difference. Nobody can force us to buy tobacco products. The government is forcing us to buy health insurance.
O'Reilly goes on with his big lie.
So what should conservatives do about John Roberts? Hate him? Vilify him? Talking Point says no. The Chief Justice made a mistake. His ruling gives the feds far too much power, but he did so to avoid judicial activism, so there was a reason. Instead of name-calling, the right must put forth something better than Obamacare so that Congress will repeal it. So far, the GOP is not off to a good start.
One of the biggest frauds in the history of the conservative movement, the male equivalent of Sheila Jackson Lee, is Bill O'Reilly. Here is Sheila Jackson Lee talking about Republican deception and Obamacare. Maybe she'll be invited on the Leprechaun Hour.
For the Speaker of the House to say that he wants to pull this out by the roots and to indicate that it's capturing insurance companies, misinformation, demonizing legislation that I think many legislators have not even read. If they did, they would also understand that 98% of Americans would not be paying a penalty. But more importantly, 30 to 40 million, the number keeps going up and then goes down, is the exact issue. It's the exact issue of individuals who lay on sick beds in hospitals without opportunity for insurance coverage. And when I say they lay on sick beds, they're in emergency rooms because they can't get into hospitals because they have to go right out the door. Or maybe some of them fall sick right at the door of the emergency room because they're checking cards and coverage. And I understand hospitals.
Right.
They've got to survive.
Yes.
And those individuals don't even get into the hospital. So by falsifying the information, it's confusing Americans. It is, in essence, distorting what is a positive step toward not only coverage, but preventative care, the coverage of children from birth until adulthood.
And here is Hillary Clinton lying about the new peace plan for Syria while the world's blowing up in her face.
What the agreement clearly states is that there has to be a transitional governing body that will be constituted of people who are there by the mutual consent of the government and the opposition. Now, unless I am wildly off base, there's no way anyone in the opposition would ever consent to Assad or his inside regime cronies with blood on their hands being on any transitional governing body.
Do you really believe that the Russians can convince Assad?
Well, I think that's a great question, because one of the points that became clear both in my long conversations with Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in St. Petersburg, and then in our larger group, they have committed to trying, but they've also admitted that they may or may not have enough leverage to convince not just one man, but a family and a regime that their time is over.
Finally, here's a CBS reporter talking about Judge Roberts switching his vote. It's utterly astonishing.
I am told by two sources with specific knowledge of the court's deliberations that Roberts initially sided with the conservatives in this case and was prepared to strike down the heart of this law, the so-called individual mandate, of course, that requires all Americans to buy insurance or pay a penalty. But Roberts, I'm told by my sources, changed his views, deciding to instead join with the liberals. And he withstood, I'm told by my sources, a month-long desperate campaign by the conservative justices to bring him back to the fold. And that campaign was led, ironically, by Justice Anthony Kennedy. And why that's ironic is because it was Justice Kennedy that conservatives feared would be the one most likely to defect. But their effort, of course, was unsuccessful. Roberts did not budge. The conservatives wrote that astonishing joint dissent, united in opposition, and Roberts wrote the majority opinion with the four liberals to uphold the president's signature achievement.
And here's what's on michaelsavage.com. I hate to talk about Bill O'Reilly, the leprechaun, because we know who he is, the loofer man. But the fact is that he actually went on the air yesterday and lied through his teeth. He didn't fool me for one second. With convoluted reasoning, Bill the Leprechaun O'Reilly actually had the nerve to look at the camera and say that John Roberts ruled as a conservative. It's beyond comprehension. He then ended by saying, well, what should conservatives do about John Roberts, as though he speaks for conservatives, this double-talking leprechaun. He said, instead of name-calling, the right must put forth something better than Obamacare. Bill, you've always been a double talker. Bill, the cat is out of the bag. Go get a green suit. Your color is showing. Also on michaelsavage.com today, well, so many other stories, you'd think it's a slow news day, no such thing. A hero general, a real general, as opposed to the fake ones, says Obama is following the Marxist plan that I describe in Trickle-Down Tyranny. So if you think I'm just giving you hype, listen to a general who knows exactly what the Marxist insurgency is all about and what Obama the Marxist is doing today. Speaking of the Marxist president, he has already put in place a halt on deportations for illegal aliens. At the same time, Syria is burning. Egypt's Muslim extremists, called Islamists, the Muslim Brotherhood, is calling for the release from our jail of our arch terrorist, one of the planners of 9/11. Let's see if Hillary agrees with him. Iran is reporting long-range missile launches and exercises. It goes on and on. Meanwhile, Representative West says Obama wants Americans to be his slave. Obama's new Navy is a great green fleet that is using biofuel that costs $26 a gallon, seven times more than conventional fuel. This is what you call the insanity of doxy liberalism. Also on my website, take a look at this face with the rings to the lips. A lesbian college student faked anti-gay notes left in her room that sparked a rally against hate crimes. She acted like a victim, but a hidden camera caught her posting the hate on her door herself. Her punishment? She will probably be invited to work for the Obama administration. Democrat official in Florida resigns after anti-Israel emails were discovered. She made believe she loved Jews in Israel, but as we all know, most Democrats hate Jews in Israel, even though they may be Jewish in Florida. Sad story, the chimp attack victim, he wanted to help them. Hands gone, pieces of his body gone from the crazed chimps. The boy loved the chimps, and boy, did they love him. He said he wanted to help them. They're wild animals, young man. It's a sad thing, and we wish you the speediest of recoveries. Also on Michael Savage today, was Roberts affected by mind-altering drugs? I repeat my case. What you may not know, which I learned today from the same famous neurologist, is that if you suffer a seizure, you are not allowed to drive for a year. You must give up your license for 1 year. But apparently you don't have to give up your license to wreck America. Chinese stink bugs ruining U.S. fruit crops. Is the ATF retaliating against fast and furious whistleblowers? Well, it's the Obama administration. How could they do that? Britain's Atlantis found at the bottom of the North Sea. A huge undersea world was swallowed by the sea in 6500 B.C. That is long before Al Gore's ancestors had a twinkle in their eye for him. Caffeine, bad for you? No, it's linked to lower skin cancer risk. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the A.C. is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com.
Savage.
Now, let's be clear about this, this fast and furious gun running. Let's be very clear. There are certainly political aspects to the story. There's no question the Republicans are trying to smear Obama, as in any such case. There's always political elements. But let's not forget that a U.S. Border Patrol agent with a name and scores of Mexican citizens have been murdered with weapons that the U.S. Justice Department lost track of that they shipped to Mexico. In a nutshell, for those of you who are too dumb to remember, the feds released some 2,500 firearms to Mexican drug cartel members in an effort to track gun trafficking patterns. Really, it was to create a case to eliminate the Second Amendment. It's in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. But the weapons disappeared, the body count began to grow, and now the scandal has revolved. So Obama asserts executive privilege regarding documents that might provide some clarity. And so, therefore, this privilege assertion, which comes 15 months after Obama claimed that neither he nor Withholder knew about it, the fact of the matter is they know about it, and they knew about it from the beginning because they orchestrated it. And so, therefore, they voted, the House voted, a contempt citation against Withholder. But now you have Obama attempting to derail the entire process by asserting executive privilege. You would say it's a principal claim to protect the executive. Everyone with any knowledge of what this is a Nixonian cover-up. And the fact of the matter is this cover-up needs to be exposed, and we will see that Attorney General Eric Withholder and President Malbama seem to be directly involved in the whole scheme of fast and furious guns to Mexico. No, I don't give him the benefit of the doubt, nor should you. 1-800-449-8255. Now, again, 2,500 firearms disappear. People die. What happens if you legally own two or three guns in your house? You own two or three guns. And you then lend these guns to some people, some shady people in town, and a robbery is committed, or worse yet, a murder is committed. You, my friends, would be arrested for complicity in the robbery or the murder. But if the crime is big enough, as I've said many times, if the crime is big enough, you become Treasury Secretary. And if the crimes are really big, you become President. We had John Corzine, former Goldman Sachs CEO, former governor of New Jersey, former U.S. Senator, lost $1.5 billion. He's not been indicted yet. Why? Because the crime was big enough, the connection's deep enough, you get away with it. On the other hand, if you're poor and you steal a sandwich at a Subway, you will be, pardon me, you'd be arrested immediately, probably to 30 days in jail for stealing a sandwich if you were starving. You steal enough, nothing happens to you. $1.5 billion disappears, no indictments. Or then you have Jamie Dimon. Probably his name was Diamond, and they converted it somewhere along the line from Ellis Island to Demon. And I would say that the latter is closer than Diamond to what the man really is. I would say he should change the spelling to D-E-M-O-N. But nevertheless, that's one man's opinion. You have Jamie Dimon, Demon, Diamond, Diamond, Demon, Diamond, Diamond. Again, billions of dollars disappear in his company. And what happens? He's called before Congress. They don't even give him a slap on the wrist. He goes home. He has a fine scotch or a fine cognac, and nothing happens. You, on the other hand, if you're working in a company, you get behind on payments for your child's cancer treatment. And let us say you borrow money out of the company treasury for 30 days by juggling the books, hoping to pay it back. You get caught, you go to jail for 5 years. See, isn't America great? That's why they say in America the streets are paved with gold. I, of course, changed that to the streets are paved with yolds. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Let's have a little music, Ray, because I need a break from all of this pain. Yes, I'm feeling real pain. So let's play a little music, Dave. It doesn't require much other than hitting a button. Can you pull that off? Now, that leads me to the next question for the show. You notice how I just gave you my all and then went to a music bumper in order to catch my breath? I'm starting to think about the live events that I'm thinking of doing. How do I do that for 90 minutes if I don't have music in the background? No ads, no breaks. How am I going to talk to you for 90 straight minutes? In other words, I can give you a spritz, a 2-3 minute spritz that's brilliant, but I can't do it for 90 minutes straight. What do you recommend I do during the intervals? Play the music. Well, you can swing it, you can groove it, you can barely stop and move it at the hop. Well, the jump is the coolest, and the music is the coolest at the hop. See, now I can come back again because I took a breather in my voice. See, that's why politicians speak in sound bites. You can't do 60 minutes of anything without sounding foolish, unless you read a teleprompter, or unless you're Bill O'Reilly, and you basically read like a rigid stick from the Manual of Leprechaunism. How else can you do? If you're doing a creative live performance, unless you're Bill O'Reilly, who stands there like a wooden stick in the mud, I have no idea what people's tastes are. But why would they go listen to a man like him who they could see on television? Yet he packs him in. He brings in that second-rate comedian who nobody would book anywhere else on earth, as if he's something, you know, like Metallica.
Savage.
Look, as I've told you many times on this show, there are many in the so-called environmental movement who are actually hurting the environment and of using it, you know, for profit. It's a political statement rather than a movement interested in saving the planet, of course. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is Dr. Robert Zubrin, an actual rocket scientist and author of a new book entitled Merchants of Despair. He says environmentalists are to blame for the severity of the Colorado wildfires, not global warming. Dr. Zubrin, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's a pleasure. You say environmentalists are to blame? How?
They are the principal cause. For the past decade, what we've had here out west is an epidemic spread of the western pine beetle. They have destroyed 60 million acres of land. 60 million acres. Okay, they've destroying them at a rate of 6 million acres a year. That, by the way, is twice the rate of deforestation of the Amazon. You know, the Amazon, it's the great environmentalist cause celebre. There's 3 million acres of trees being lumbered away there, and they're all against it, okay, because humans are benefiting. But twice that much many trees are being destroyed here, but not by loggers, by beetles. And they have filed over 1,000 lawsuits to prevent any rational measures to stop these beetles, of which, by the way, the most obvious is simply logging. The beetles are spreading because you've got these thick forests filled with mature trees that have not been thinned out by rational forest control, and they're all connected. If you thinned out the trees, that would make it harder for them to spread. If you clear cut, you know, in a controlled, designated way, gaps between forests, that would create quarantines on the spread of the beetles. Of course, we could, God, heaven forfend, that we actually use pesticides to stop the beetles. So, and furthermore, they even stop us from logging out forests that have already been destroyed. And so you get these huge accumulations of dry, dead wood. And, I mean, you can see it. If you go out to the forests of Colorado, vast areas that were once green forests, they're now just standing there as red, dead trees waiting to go up into the largest forest fire in history at the first spark. And these people have stopped us from locking these out, stopping us from protecting ourselves. And what are they doing? They're setting up the conditions for the greatest forest fire in history, in which millions of tons of wood will go up in smoke, filling the air with smoke and pine tar gas, to say nothing of CO2, which is the least of it, okay, and killing literally millions of animals in the most horrible way, being burnt alive, and also destroying hundreds of houses and killing people. And, Now, this makes no sense from anyone with even the slightest hint of rationality. If they want to protect the forest, if these people are so-called protectors of nature, they'd want us to take, you know, measured precautionary measures to log out gaps between forests, to thin out forests, to stop these wonderful places from being burnt up, to stop millions of living creatures from being burnt alive. But no, they don't want that, because doing that would also benefit people. It would create jobs, it would create goods, which, by the way, would serve to reduce the amount of logging going on elsewhere in the world. So if they want to protect the Amazon, a good way to protect it would be to have American lumber being thrown on the world market. And by the way, pine beetle kill is very good wood for several years, even after the tree's been destroyed. In fact, it's beautiful stuff, and many carpenters prize it for its aesthetic qualities in ornamental pieces. But they won't let us do it. So in order to stop economic development, they're willing to destroy our forests.
You make a connection from environmentalism to anti-humanism.
Well, that is the connection. The connection is anti-humanism. In other words, look, the basic case they have, okay, and this goes all the way back, as I show in the book Merchants of Despair, to Thomas Malthus, and it's taken various points since then, is there isn't enough of X to go around, whether X is food or living space or oil or the right to reproduce or the right to use fuels. There isn't enough of X to go around, and therefore human aspirations must be constrained, and therefore someone must be empowered to do the constraining. That's their point of view. Let me read you a quote that's in my book, but it's a quote from John Holdren, who is the president's science advisor, President Obama's science advisor, and Paul Ehrlich, who is the person who wrote the book The Population Bomb, which, by the way, advocated that the United States government set up a Bureau of Population and that Americans should have to get permits from the government before they have children so that we could have a one-child policy here, just like in China. Okay, they wrote this together. They said the following: when a population of organism grows in a finite environment, sooner or later it will encounter a resource limit. This phenomenon, described by ecologists as reaching the carrying capacity of the environment, applies to bacteria on a culture dish, to fruit flies in a jar of agar, and to buffalo on a prairie. It must also apply to man on this finite planet. So there you have it. They see humans, the human race, is a bunch of fruit flies in a jar of agar whose numbers need to be controlled by the wise scientists, them, the gods that stand above us, to control our activities so that we can continue to exist and not use up too much of the agar, and they can supervise this. And, this is monstrous, but it is their policy. And, you know, this, by the way, this worldview has over history been linked to eugenics. It's been linked to Nazism. I mean, look, Adolf Hitler put it very concisely. In 1941, he said, "The laws of existence prescribe unlimited killing so that the better might live." If you have the point of view that there's only so much to go around, then the question is, who do you get rid of? And, you know, that's the worldview that these people have, and it's been catastrophic.
Environmentally speaking, do you think the planet can handle more people?
Yes, there can. As a matter of fact, look, in 1968, Paul Ehrlich, okay, the mentor of John Holdren, President Obama's science advisor, wrote the book The Population Bomb, in which he said, look, we got 3.5 billion people in the world today. There's going to be 7 billion by the year 2000. There's hungry people now. They'll be starving in the streets by then. We have to have population control. India and China got to be sent down the drain, and the U.S. has got to implement a one-child policy enforced by the federal government. Well, here we are, it's the year 2012, and the world population has doubled, okay, since 1968. But are people living worse or better than they were in 1968? They're living better. In fact, they're living much better in India and China, precisely the countries that Ehrlich said had to be sent down the drain, and they're living better in the United States, too. But, you know, this whole thesis was idiotic, because Ehrlich was born in the year 1931, when the world population was half of what it was in 1968. Now, if his theory was correct, that human well-being is inversely proportional to human numbers, if that was true, then we should have had an affluent world in 1931. Everybody should have been rich in 1931. But, of course, the world of 1931, which Ehrlich was around to see, okay, was not an affluent world. It was a much poorer world than the world of 1968, to say nothing of the world today. So, This whole theory is just bunk. It's completely counterfactual. And we live much better today because of the number of people that there are, not merely because every mouth comes with a pair of hands. Okay, that would simply make it a wash. But every mouth comes with a pair of hands and a brain. And the more people there are, the more inventors there are, and the more innovations, and the faster the rate of progress and economic growth. And we live much better today, not only because of all the people that are alive today, but of all the people that have lived. I mean, just imagine if Malthus, who was the person who founded this whole theory of thought back in 1800, who called for exterminating the Irish, okay, if he had had his way, and there had been half as many people on Earth in the 1800s as there actually were. Well, then, you could get rid of either Thomas Edison or Louis Pasteur. Take your pick. You can either give up electricity or give up modern medicine.
Hmm.
This movement, okay, they should not even be allowed to call themselves environmentalists. What they are is they are anti-humanists. They are simply trying to make a case against mankind. And, you know, the proof of it is everything they do. For instance, you know, I started my career as a nuclear engineer. And, you know, back in the 70s, the environmentalists were saying, well, you know, we have to stop economic growth because it's using up all the fossil fuel. The fossil fuel is running out, and it's smoking up the atmosphere. So we come along and say, well, we got a new technology, nuclear power. It's never going to run out and doesn't cause any smoke. They say, we don't want that. DDT, which according to the National Academy of Sciences in 1970, between its introduction as a life-saving measure by U.S. Army troops in World War II through 1970, saved 500 million lives. Okay, 500 million lives. Okay, the environmentalists said, we have to ban that. And the excuse they gave was, well, it's harming the birds. Actually, Audubon Society bird count showing that bird populations in the U.S. were increasing sharply over the DDT years because, in fact, it was protecting the birds, since the largest cause of bird mortality in the wild is insect-borne diseases. But they didn't care about that. And they didn't care about the fact that, regardless of that, getting rid of something that was the biggest advance in human public health since chlorination of the water supply was an atrocity on any count. They didn't care about that. They don't care about the fact that they're causing all this stuff. You know, it's ironic that the label that these people give to those who do not want to impose regressive carbon taxes on the supposed basis of global warming, they call them deniers. These people are deniers. 3 million people dying every year in Africa from malaria because they've banned DDT. Millions of people starving to death around the world because of rigged up oil prices that they have colluded in creating, and so forth. You know, you can read it in the smoke of the American West, the fires, our forests going up in flames because these people wouldn't let us do what was necessary to save the forest simply because doing so would help the economy.
Where can we read more?
Well, first of all, you can go to the book Merchants of Despair, which explains this theory, show how it has committed atrocity after atrocity for the past 200 years, as I say, ranging from the denial of food to the starving Irish to the Nazi Holocaust, which was motivated by these ideas, to population control programs, which unfortunately still go on with U.S. taxpayer money. I know listeners may not know, but this year we're going to spend $600 million of U.S. taxpayers' money to fund four sterilization programs in third world countries, which these countries, by the way, do not want, but which is being forced upon them as a condition of accepting other U.S. foreign aid. So this explains the crimes of this, and then it gives you some idea of things that we can do about it, like, for instance, cutting off that funding of the USAID's population control programs, cutting off the funding of the Environmental Protection Agency, which has made it possible for people to launch thousands of lawsuits that prevent us from protecting the environment. I mean, it's amazing. Here we come back to the forest again. And not only that, by the way, these lawsuits, okay, the Sierra Club alone has done more than 1,000 of them, has cost the American taxpayers over $1 billion a year, $1 billion a year, okay, over $6 billion over the past 6 years. And now this is an industry that is ripping off the American taxpayers because what happens is these people file suits, okay, they then get nominal damages, but they get lawyers' fees, and these lawyers of theirs that are aligned to the environmentalist movement, they charge $500, $700 an hour, and it's costing us billions of dollars, $6 billion. That's more than the cost of a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. That's more than the cost of the whole Hubble Space Telescope program we've given to the environmentalist movement as their reward for stopping us from saving our forests.
Dr. Zubrin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I'd be delighted to do it again.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Why would you go to see me when you could get me for free on radio? Well, me, it's another story, because I have a mystique about me, and I'm sort of a legend. No one remembers what I even look like anymore. You don't even know if I want you to see me. It's like, I remember when I was young, and I was an avid reader, so I would read novels, right? And they'd show a picture of the author. There he was, fishing off the Keys in Florida, vigorous looking, you know, hairy chest, salt and pepper hair, you know, that kind. And then you actually see him in person later on. He's a frail, broken down, you know, like an old gray man. It's awful to see that. And in later pictures, it's like, you know, this is what happens to you. So maybe it's best to stay in the background at the end of the day. Play the music now. Now give it up. I'll punch you.
I can't make up my mind which one you are.
I'm looking into a trip, a summer trip, family again. They're normal. They're not like me. I'm not a normal person. I pride myself on being not wild and crazy, but definitely not a normal person. I'm not a normal path. Luckily, they are. And I have trouble with normal behavior. I have trouble with normal activities. I have trouble with normal ideas. I have trouble with normal diets. I have trouble with normal schedules. I have trouble with normal people who believe that Republicans and Democrats are different. I have trouble with normal paths who believe Romney's going to save us. I have trouble with virtually everything that's normal, but normal people are thinking about vacations now. In fact, super normal people have all planned their vacations. If you're super normal, you know where you were going in July last December and you booked it. But if you're just averagely normal, you have a little extra time and money, you're actually thinking about what to do now. So I'm thinking about Alaska. But then when you analyze it, I don't know what to do in Alaska. I have Alaska affiliates, so I want to be very careful now with what I say. And, of course, the great genius, the grand genius of all political geniuses came from Alaska, who's, we don't know where she is these days. Where is she, the great Alaskan mama? Where'd she go? Mush, 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 I say. Wait, mush, I can see Russia from here. Mush, where is she? I don't know what to do in Alaska. I want to go up there, but I don't want to look at a bear. You know, yesterday the show was over. It was a great night in San Francisco. And I hung out. I got to just give you a little, you know, sketch of what it's like. I happen to be a loner. I enjoy being alone. I mean, I do like people up to a certain point, but I do like walking around the city at night alone. Collar turned up, hat turned down, and a certain friend in my pocket. Walking around the downtown, looking at the skyscrapers, all of the bums basically were gone, and the occupiers were busy collecting whatever they collect and smoking the medical marijuana. It was a beautiful moment. Actually, a couple of hours, wandered around, had a few drinks, went into a Vietnamese restaurant at 9 o'clock by myself, had a dish in a Vietnamese restaurant that I rarely eat in. And then I rested a few hours till a couple of drinks dissipated out of my system. And I drove back over the Golden Gate Bridge maybe 11 o'clock, 11:30, when I was totally clear and beautiful in my own thinking and everything was calm. I love driving later at night when the traffic's gone and the roads are clear and there's a lot of fog and the city is disappearing in the background. The lights on the bridge are there, and everything was perfect. And I was listening to some 80s rock and roll, and I got this terrible urge, almost for another time, another place in America. I wanted to be in a sports car that I own. It happens to be an older Ferrari that I almost never drive. And I had a desire to be on that in that car going 120 miles an hour with the top down. Of course, I wasn't. I was in a sedate car doing 55 miles an hour in the middle lane. But did you ever get the desire to just let go and drive as fast as you could for as long as you could? Well, that's, of course, what I felt like doing last night, because the corruption and the crimes and the cover-ups are so evil. You would think that the Democrats would know it. You would think that all of these intelligent people who were showering money upon this evil, corrupt administration would pause for a moment and say, you know, we better slow down because these guys are out of control. We can't be giving them money. They're too corrupt. They're too reckless. We can't support this guy. We got to put somebody else in there. You would think, right? But no, it doesn't happen. And it's how nations die.
it's how nations die. Just people can't see what they are doing. They don't want to see. They're blind. And so there's no other party. And I felt kind of empty after seeing what Romney had done with the illegal aliens. I saw that the bottom had fallen out of any hopes I had for the opposition party. The bottom had fallen out of any hopes I had to save America. And frankly, it was not a very good night for me, and today is an even worse day. Instead of appealing to voters' language and culture, instead of unifying Americans saying this is a melting pot and we all become Americans, he, like Obama, seems to be saying we don't need to become Americans. We should remember where we came from and glorify where we came from, and that will be good enough for me as well. No, I don't like it at all. And so therefore, when I do my personal appearances, my first one is in Marin County, California, on September 22nd at the Great Marin Veterans Memorial Auditorium, a place that I used to have events in, and I know it's going to be sold out, I'm sure of it. We're not selling any tickets right now, I'm just telling you about it. But I'm having a little, not stage fright, but I do radio. And when I do radio, although it's hours a day, I have breaks, I have ads, I have music bumps, I have callers. And I'm having a little bit of a worry here, like what do I do for 90 straight minutes on the stage to keep the audience entertained, invigorated, and, of course, not burn myself out? I mean, I got a great opening for you, great cheers, and I come out, and then what? Did I reach for my books? What do I do for you for an hour and a half? I don't understand what you want me to do for an hour on stage.
Savage.